last week after the service, I was playing with the tracking cars. Actually, what I mean to say was I was doing some valuable research on the track and cars after the services. And the boys, they played a little bit. We always have, you know, with our boys, they're competitive. So we figured out how many of the cars can we make it go the whole. And we just had some fun and playing around a little bit while we were still working and downloading this, that, or the other. But I did do a little bit of research. Now, this isn't scientific research, but hopefully maybe a few things to make us think about at least. There's 42 total cars in this thing, or there was 42 cars total the night that we ran our cars, or I ran the cars and did a little bit of research. Three of them went off the track right at the bottom of the first slope. This first slope here, three of them went off the track. And the three of them, I jotted them down. That was the Batmobile here. It was the dump truck, and it was, I think, another one that had a car that was missing a wheel. But if you think about, remember the track, and we're going to go over all that again, good Lord willing. This may be our last night, depending on how far we get. But how God puts the pieces of our life together, basically lays out the track for us in His perfect will. And so as these cars were going off here, I was thinking, you know, a lot of people, when they trust the Lord, that's how you get on the track. That's how you get in God's will. The first step is trusting Jesus as your Savior. But for a lot of people, they're excited for about that long. And, you know, it's kind of exciting on this. If I were on this thing going down this personally, I'd be pretty like, you know. But it's pretty exciting. But they pretty much got off of God's will and the track for their life really quick. And we sometimes see that with people, don't we? I mean, boy, they're on fire, but not for long. They're on fire. And I'm not saying they weren't saved. They could have been very legitimately saved, but then it just kind of is not as exciting after that. I mean, after that joy ride. Let's see. One got stuck on the first hill. The first hill right here where the hymn books are. One got stuck, and that was none other than Lightning McQueen. And part of the reason was, for all of these, the Batmobile, the dump truck, and Lightning McQueen, they're just a little bit too wide for this track. And, you know, some people, I think they get off the track of the Christian life and God's will because they're a little bit too wide in their own eyes. You know what I mean? I guess it's kind of ironic that Lightning McQueen, the superstar, right, only made it to the first hill and then stopped. And some people, they let pride get in. And again, they could very well be truly, legitimately saved, but then the pride of life, you know, hey, I want this out of life. I want this out of life. I want this. And they get stopped somewhere along the track and don't do what God ultimately wants them to do. Listen to this. After the first hill, in my scientific experiment, 26 crashed after the first hill. 26. Right here. They go over the first hump of hymn books, and then they crash somewhere right in here. You know, I'm thinking, how many Christians, once they get saved, they get on the track, it's exciting, they're going downhill, they get hit that first hump, it's like, whoa, trials and tribulations. I thought this Christian life was going to be easy. And sometimes people get off the track right there, don't they? That's 26 of them. That's pretty amazing. One almost made it to the end of the track. Almost. It just ran out of juice, I guess. I'm not quite sure who to liken that to. But 11 out of 42 made it the whole way. And they finished in a good way. Now, that's only 26%. And I want you to your thought to go that way. I have this custom-made finish line, checkered flag, all right? We're going to talk about that tonight. But 26% finish strong. Have you known a lot of Christians that have not finished strong? And I know we have some folks with a few years on them here, but it's still possible for you to not finish strong. I mean, really, in the Christian life, as we mature, we ought to be running stronger and stronger, and our car ought to be more powerful, right? Serving the Lord, and we ought to finish strong. But let me tell you, a lot of people don't finish strong. hope that we do. And we're going to talk about tonight. Well, I did want to make this little note. I did note that some cars almost from the beginning had one wheel off the track and one wheel on the track. Kind of reminds you of people who are partly serving the Lord and partly wanting to be part of the world. Tonight we continue the series, How Big Is God? And the overall series will probably go on, but the one that we've been looking at, He's Big Enough to Direct Your Life, through this Hot Wheels track here analogy. Probably the last part, but maybe the next to last part, depending on how far we go. Tonight we're going to focus on the fact that God is totally, listen, God is totally 100% faithful to see us along the track all the way to the finish line. All the way to the finish line. But the question is for us, and the challenge for you and I is simply, will we remain faithful? Will we remain faithful to finish the race that God has put together for our lives? Will we remain faithful? I'm going to back up a little bit, talk about what these different things represent. And I'm going to ask you again, all right? I'm going to ask you again. So, all these cars here, what do they represent? Someone raise their hand and tell me what that represents. You get a gold star for the day if you do. Larry, what's the cars represent? That's us. Now, this is just an analogy, but hopefully it'll help us remember things, and no analogy is perfect. But we have all kind of different cars here, right? We have colorful ones, dull ones. We got campers in there. We got sports cars, race cars, all kind of stuff in there. And we're all different, right? Now, we said from the very beginning that these tracks, these Hot Wheel tracks, who puts them together for us? Connie? God puts them together. And the track actually represents what for us as Christians? Someone else has not answered. What does the track represent for us? Okay. Did you raise your hand, Ken? Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand, Ken. Okay, Ken. The pathway of our life, or God's perfect will for our life. You see, God has a perfect will for every one of us. And I'm telling you, if every Christian got just the analogy of the track and the points of how God works in our heart and life, they would be way down the pike. Because a lot of Christians don't have a clue what we're talking about when we say God's will and how we find God's will. And remember, we made the big point that it's found in a lifestyle of faithfulness to God. Remember the passage? Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, because of the mercies, or by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice says, here I am. So if you want to know God's will, say, here I am. I want to know your will. I'm available. It says, and be not conformed to this world. That's another requirement. You cannot be living one foot in the world and one foot in the church, one foot in what you want to do and one foot what God wants you to do if you want to know God's will. It just doesn't work that way. So you say, okay, I'm not going to conform to the world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you do that? God's word. So it's a relationship. It's a daily relationship. A lot of people want preachers or maybe someone they look up to wave a magic God's will wand, if you will. You know, like, okay, oh, preacher, I got this big, you know, they've been out doing their own thing, but something big comes up, and I'll at least give them credit that at least now they want God's will, but they want the preacher to wave some little magic wand over the situation and say, well, this is what you're supposed to do, Junior. It doesn't work that way. The perfect will of God is found in a faithful walk with God on a day-to-day basis. Again, here I am. I'm not living like the world. But I'm being transformed in my mind by spending time in your Bible and having time with you, God. That's how you do it. But God has a perfect will for our life. It's up to us to figure it out. And he doesn't want it to be a secret. He doesn't want it to be difficult. He wants us to be in his will. And if we want to be in his will, it ought not be that unnatural. It ought to be like, okay, God, you want to make it clear? Here I am. I'm listening. And he puts the pieces of our track together. And says, this is what I want you to do with your life, right? And some of the things that we know that's in God's will are perfectly found in God's word. But then specifically for you, that's for all Christians, right? To live holy, clean lives, use our mouth in good ways and our eyes in good ways and our testimony in good ways. All those are pretty general stuff. But God might say, I want you to be the Sunday school teacher for the for the three-year-olds in our Sunday school class. I want you to be the youth director. I want you to take up the offering. I want you to be a preacher, missionary. This is your vocation. I want you to be a mechanic, but I want you to be the best teacher that you can be in church. And things like that, that's specific. And that's what I've likened to the Hot Wheels track. God puts it together and says, all right, have at it. That's good, right? And remember we talked about snow? Man, this sermon series talked about all kinds of stuff. We talked about snow. Remember, as we're going down the track, sometimes things happen in life that take us totally by surprise. And this was a little bit more applicable when the temperature was a bit colder and there was snow flying and stuff. But sometimes we, just out of the blue, we might be going home after church, snow slick, we go in the ditch, tear it, total our car, maybe get hurt, spend time. It's like, whoa! If we're not careful, now that didn't take God by surprise, but that happens as a result of us living as sinners in a sinful world. Bad things are going to happen. God's not the cause of it. God doesn't cause anything bad to happen. But when bad things happen, we could have a big storm, right? And our house get demolished, or a fire. I think they're down in South of North Carolina now, not too far from where the boys are. There's a big forest fire down there or something. I don't know a whole lot. I just heard a little blip on the radio. They said 80 miles west of Charlotte. And I was going, 80 miles west of Charlotte. That's about where the boys are. They're about 60 miles west of Charlotte, I think. So, you know, if something burns up and you lose your home or someone dies in your family. Again, the only way I know that God can eliminate all the bad things that happen in life is if he makes us puppets or robots. Because he gives man free choice. And this wicked world uses their free choice. And it may be a choice, I'm going to drive while drunk. And I'm going to kill some Christian in a car. They don't think that way, but it happens. I was hit by a drunk driver. As a teenager, I could have been killed. Maybe 20-ish. I could have been killed. I hit head-on with the drunk driver. And things like that happen, right? And if we're not careful when things like that happen as a result of living in a sinful world, we'll let that knock us off the track for a while. We're like, oh, I just don't understand that. How come that happened? Right? But God wants to take our car, our life, so to speak, brush us off, put it back on the track. Okay? Everybody still with me? Everybody still? Okay. All right. Then we talked about Ken's baby doll. Sometimes as we go through life, sometimes we act like baby Christians. And we should know better. And what happens? And I put this down there, and I run our life, our car, representing our life, and a big baby was right in the way. And that big baby is us sometimes. We just don't want to do what God wants us to do. I'll bet you if we took a survey of how many people were called to do things for God and said no to it and didn't do it, I bet there's a whole lot of people that was told by God to do something, and they said, I'm going to do it. Big old fat baby self, ourself, gets in the way and says, in our immaturity, like a baby, I'm not going to do that, right? And when we make that choice, we get out of the center groove of God's will, right? Now, God is a gracious God. That's where 1 John 1:9 comes in. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He brushes us off and says, you missed my best for you, but guess what? I'm a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. I'm going to put you back on the track and send you on your way. Now, sometimes the consequences that we reap are pretty major consequences, and then we may not be able to do what God initially wanted to call us to do because we disqualified ourselves from doing certain things. But God is gracious. So, and then we talked about, I believe last week, that how God is the giver and the taker of life. And God has every single thing laid out in our life. Every single thing. He knows. We talked about, for this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we tried to take that a little bit further than just general principle that we can just, I ought to be happy, shouldn't I? Because God made this day. Just like God made the sun come up, and he's going to make it go down, and he's going to make it cloudy or rainy or whatever. You know, it's kind of like in some general way, but I really think that just like you scheduled in your scheduler at one point, probably in your life, maybe now, God has a schedule for your day. And I think it was, maybe I can quote this right, maybe I can't. Bill Gaither, Gloria Gaither, his wife, said that I have found in my life that God is seldom in my plans, but often in my disruptions. Think about that. Now, God has laid out, just like measuring out every single part of your life, every day of your life, like this tape measure, God has in store every day for what he wants in your day. Now, again, we live in a sinful world. Sometimes bad stuff gets in there because of that. But God is right with you every step of the way. Every little tick mark along this track, God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. And if you really approach your day that way, it ought to be like, wow, the God of the universe, the all-powerful God is with me during this day. And it may not be the best day I've ever had in the world, but God knew all about it, and he's right there. And he's coordinated that day. And isn't God a God who allows things always for our best? So keeping that in mind, that helps me with a perspective on the day that comes my way. That God has planned it all out. God knows all about. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'd almost say created. This is the day that God created for me. And it'll be okay. It'll be all right. So any questions? I don't normally ask this, but I put the cones up. And at one point, I think the second week I was here, because I didn't want anybody tripping over the racetrack and hurt my track either, but we put that up, and it's kind of like you see a cone, it's kind of cautious, right? This is something important, I better pay attention. And this is really something we ought to pay attention to. I mean, God's will is crucial for us. If God didn't have a will for us, I really believe that the instant, when I was 11 years old at Hope, some of you might wish this had happened, at 11 years old when I was saved at Hope Old Baptist Church and I came down the aisle and got my heart right with God and got saved, God would have taken me home right then and there. But that's not the plan. God's got a plan for his people. And that plan is to be in the center of his will, knowing exactly what he wants us to do. Now, any questions or any thoughts about that before we move on? Okay, now I have a new, updated, revised, improved handout. Okay? All right, so let's see. John, would you mind jumping over the track there and help me give these out a little bit? Thank you. If you get that side, I'll get this side. Hey, John, you can't charge for them. He tried. I think you might have two there. Okay, thanks. And I need one more from... You need one from Mr. John. John, the reason I asked you to do it is because you were so fast. You can still go back to your old handout if you want. And we need one more over here, John, please. I was one short on this side. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Now, if you could give Miss Wonder Woman here one. What's that? No, I don't. I have a couple. There you go. Yes. Well, I have one, thank you, John, but... You're being really thoughtful. If you want all of them, there's a two or three up here if you've lost yours or something at some point, but we don't need it tonight. And you can fill those back in later. See, what I tell you what happened. The reason it come down the way it did and we had a handout like that, I thought we was going to cover it all in one night. I mean, I really did. I thought, okay, we're going to cover all this one night. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, take your handout home and... It just didn't work that way. This is like, let's see, I think part six with the track, I think more or less. So, but this may be it tonight. Maybe one more. But if you want to look at that, how big is God? That's our overall series. He's big enough to direct your life. And that's with the Hot Wheels track analogy. Now, number one, tonight. This is just tonight. That was formerly number six on your old sheet. God's directing will bring completion. God's directing will bring completion. All right. God's directing will bring completion is the word if you want to fill in the blank there. If you need a pen, I have a couple up here at least. Okay, God's directing will bring completion. Now, here's a wonderful, fabulous verse. Now, if you, again, to the analogy, you know, the car, he's going to bring you to the end of your track. Okay? If you don't make it to the end of the track in God's will, it's not God's fault. Okay? It's our fault. Okay? Because God's directing will bring completion. Now, this is a wonderful, wonderful passage in Philippians chapter 1. You got to remember Paul writing to the Philippian church while he was in a Roman prison. And most would say, or a big chunk of people would say, you know, the main theme of Philippians is joy. And you're like, come on, Paul. You're writing about joy and you're in a Roman prison, something. You must be delusional. No, he wasn't delusional. He was faithful. And he sees how God was working in all that. He saw that, okay? Philippians 1, 3 and 7, notice it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, talking to the Philippians, the folks in that Philippian church, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy. That's a good thing. Always in every prayer of mine. I'm praying for you. Wow, I'm praying for you a lot, Philippian church. And it says, for you all making requests. So I'm making requests. I'm praying specifically for you, church. And it says, with joy, with joy. Now, I was reading a commentary today, and it said something like this. When your pastor thinks of you, does he think of joy? I'm not even going to go there. But it says, making requests with joy. Paul says, when I thank you, I get joyful. That's the kind of person I want to be. That when people think of me, they're like, ah, that's a good guy. Joy, yeah. Faithful, yeah. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day into now. So you've supported me. You prayed for me. You've supported me from the first day. And you still are. Isn't that great? That's a missionary there saying, thank you for doing that. Being confident. Here it is. Here it is. Being confident. What does confidence mean? Does anyone have an idea of how to define that? Confidence. Being confident. Sure. What was another word? Did I hear another word out there somewhere? Being certain of something, right? Being confident. You know, sometimes you have athletes and they talk to them before the game and they say, I'm confident we're going to win. They're sure that they're going to win. And they may not, but in this area of spirituality and serving God and leaning on God, Paul says, I'm confident. I know that this is going to happen. Of this very thing. Now, here's what he's very confident about. And this has to do with bringing us to completion. It says, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to come back to that. But even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. In other words, I know that you're with me in all this. You're praying for me while I'm in jail. And you're there when I defend and confirm the gospel. You are all partakers of my grace. So what does it say there? That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's that good work that God started in your heart and life? Now, I know that may be a tough question to ask, but what happened that day where you said, Lord, I believe Jesus died for me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. What happened to you when that happened? You got saved. So that work that he started in your heart is the work of salvation, don't you think? Now, aren't you glad that God says, I'm going to complete that work that I started in you? I mean, what if God, have you ever had a boss that said enough? Said, I've been trying to train you, but forget it. You're out of here. You're not going to live up to that. Now, hopefully not. Hopefully no one here has been that way, but maybe. Humans are have that capability, right? But God says, I started this. I started this salvation in your heart and life by what I did, and you put your faith and trust in it, and I'm going to bring it to completion. Warren Wiersbe, one of my heroes of the faith, he said that salvation is the good work God does in us when we trust his Son. It says we are told that God continues to work in us through his Spirit. In other words, salvation includes a threefold work. Are you ready for this? This is good. If you've been asleep, listen. You say, yeah, I don't want to listen to you, preacher. Okay, listen to Warren Wiersbe, all right? The work God does for us, salvation. The work God does in us, sanctification. You see, once you're truly saved, sanctification is when we draw closer to God and become more and more like Jesus. The work God does for us, salvation, first. The work God does in us, sanctification. And the work God does through us, service. This work will continue until we see Christ, and then the work will be fulfilled. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. That's pretty good, isn't it? That work that he began in us, that good work, it says, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that God does not give up on me. Like I said, he gives us a free choice. And there's lots of things we talked about that can get us off of God's track and out of his will. And we sometimes, just in our own foolishness and being a baby and immature about it, I'm not going to do what you want me to do, God. I'm going to do my own thing. And then we justify it. We try to come up with six reasons why we don't read our Bible, or we don't pray the way we should, or we don't come to church the way we should, or something. Now, come on. We are called to do what God wants us to do. When we get saved, it's like, I'm yours, God. But then we keep wanting to do it our way. It's kind of goofy, isn't it? But God says, regardless of your faithfulness, I am faithful. Regardless whether you're faithful to me day in and day out or you're not, I'm faithful. If you're one of mine and you've been saved, I'm going to complete the work that I started in you. I mean, wouldn't that be a fine how do you do if you got saved and 3 days later God said, nah. You know, just kidding. Or you know how some people catch fish and there's a certain limit on how big it's got to be? You know, nah, you weren't big enough. Throw you back in. God doesn't work that way. God says, I'm going to complete this work. And it says, until when? It says, we'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord's return. The rapture of the church. That's what I'm voting for. How many of you would prefer to go up in the rapture than death? How many would rather go up in the rapture rather than death? Okay, it's almost unanimous, I think. I'm not sure. I think some were doodling maybe, didn't figure out the question. But that's what my dad always said. I want to go up in the rapture. He didn't make it. He went in death. But I'm pretty confident that the Lord's going to come back before I die. If I'm wrong, I mean, it's no big deal. I'm getting there either way. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. I'm getting to heaven because God says in his word. Again, we can't put too much confidence in God's word. Did you hear me? We cannot put too much confidence in God's word. Because God's word, we can be confident in it all the time, anytime, every time, right? So we cannot put too much because it's worthy of all confidence. Does that make sense? And it says right there that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, finish line it until the day of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad about that? I always wanted to do that, wave that flag there at the race. I'm a little bit of a NASCAR fan because of the boys, a little bit. All right, where were we? Point number one tonight, God's directing will bring completion. So God's got his part down, All right? Look at the next verse there on your sheet. This is good stuff. I mean, this if you can hear this and not be at least a little bit moved on the inside, you better go see your doctor. Seriously, you better go see your doctor because something's not right. John 10:27-30. Notice this. Jesus speaking. Jesus himself. Words in red. They're not red on your sheet, but they're red in the Bible. All right? It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." My sheep, boy, I'm a sheep of Jesus. That ought to make your heart feel pretty good. And we hear his voice. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He knows you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going through. He knows how you're feeling. He knows all, he knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows everything about you. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Is there a praise the Lord out there? Amen. Come on, don't act like Presbyterians. It says, "And they shall never perish, neither." Here you go. Now, I have the hardest time with people that believe you can lose your salvation. What in the world do they do with verses like this? I mean, I just don't. They have to ignore an awful lot of scripture to come to the conclusion that you can lose your salvation. Now, what happens in a lot of people's lives is they're truly born again, and they get the baby. Remember the baby? And they get doing their own thing, and they feel so far from God, they don't feel saved anymore. But if they truly meant it to start with, they're still saved. I mean, once our boys were D-Lays, they were stuck with being D-Lays for the rest of their life because they're part of our family, right? I mean, they can move to another continent if they want to. They can even legally try to change their last name. But in the eyes of the dad, they're still a D-Lay. And the same way, when people are saved, they become part of the family of God. And there's so many scripture. I mean, I could do you a 10-part sermon with very little preparation on how why we're born again once and for all if we're truly saved. You don't want a 10-part sermon on that? Nobody said amen on that. Preacher, okay, I believe it, but don't do it. Okay. But it says, "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Wow. No man. Now, I know. I've talked to a lot of people in my life, and there's some people, "Preacher, no man can, but I can pluck myself out of the Father's hands." You're a man or a woman. You know me. The general term is man. We're mankind, right? We're human, right? And if no man can do it, you can't even do it yourself because you've already made your decision and trusted Jesus as your Savior. All right. "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Jesus talking here, out of my hand. And then notice this, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." Hand, singular. "I and my Father are one." Anybody got a quarter? Anybody got any change at all? Okay, let's use a connector. You got a quarter? Okay, well good. I needed an extra quarter. Thank you. Now, quarters work really good, and I don't normally carry around any change anymore. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, that's a choice, right? And by the way, John 3:16 says, that verse that we say we love, and probably that we say it's the most beloved verse, it supports eternal security. Because it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," right? "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have" what kind of life? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. So you're saved. What do? When you believe in Jesus, you get everlasting life. If you can lose it, that's farthest thing I know from being everlasting. Seriously. I mean, y'all with me on that? I mean, do we have any closet people here tonight that think they can lose your salvation? I'm telling you, God's word is clear. And I'm not being argumentative, but I may be. Because, I mean, Bible's the Bible, right? And what it says is, Jesus, as he's talking, he says, guess what? You are in my hand. Boom. Now, can any man get God's hand, Jesus specifically right now, Jesus the Son, can you get Jesus' hands open? No. And then it goes on and says, and you're in the Father's hand. And I remember our preacher in Chattanooga, he demonstrated about like this. He says, you're not only in Jesus' hand, you're in God the Father's hand. Is anybody here strong enough to get Jesus' hand to move or God's hand to move? I think you're way, way, way overestimating your power if you think you can. But I'm saying to get to that finish line, God says, I'm going to do my part. That work I started in you, that salvation I started in you, I'm bringing it to completion, right? And he says, if you're saved, ain't nobody. I don't care if you like ain't or not. There ain't nobody that can get you out of my hand. Now, and there's lots of other verses too. But that one's pretty hard to refute, don't you think? Bruce, I'm not going to give you back your quarter. Next passage, or Ephesians 1, 12 to 14. It says, Ephesians 1. Now, where's Ephesians? What's it part of? It's part of what book we have? Called the Bible, isn't it? What part of the Bible? The New Testament part of the Bible, right? It's written to what group of people? The Ephesians. And that was a what? A church, a local church, all right? It says, Paul writes to the Ephesian church. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Well, our lives ought to be to the praise of the glory of Jesus, right? Notice this. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Now, that's important. That's almost like an evangelistic verse because you got to hear the word of truth in order to be saved. And the only way they're going to hear is by a preacher or a proclaimer, someone saying, this is how you're saved, right? Okay. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel. Notice it says this, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. What's that word? Say it with me loud. Sealed. Come on, try that again. Sealed. With that what? Holy Spirit of promise. So we talked about Jesus the Son. We talked about God the Father, how you're in Jesus' hands, and Jesus and you are in God's hands. What about this verse? We're in the control of the Holy Spirit too. So if you say, I can lose my salvation, preacher, actually I have lost my salvation. Those people over there, they lost their salvation. What might have happened, those people again, they may have been truly born again, they rebelled against God, but they better watch out because they're still a child of God and God is going to bring punishment into their life, right? But what about maybe those people never were truly saved in the first place? Because sometimes people do things that are on the outside that's not reality on the inside. You hear people say, well, I was pressured into it, or I did. Okay, then maybe you never were truly born again. But if you listen to my words really carefully, if you are truly saved, if you have truly trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can't make yourself unsaved, and nobody else can make you unsaved. You are saved throughout all eternity because you are called God's child, and you will remain God's child. He'll take you all the way down the Hot Wheels track to the end of the track, wave the banner, and say, guess what, you're finished because I brought it to completion. It says in this verse, I didn't get it done yet, in whom also that you believe you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. The purpose of a seal, to make it secure, right? So the Holy Spirit, seals you in the body of Christ, which is the earnest, or the down payment, if you will, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In other words, guess what? The Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is the down payment, until we get to heaven. It's like, okay, you're saved. No way you could be. You got God the Father, you got God the Son, you got the Holy Spirit, and every one of them say, you can't lose it once you really got it. That is God's word, right? I'm honest. I don't know how people refute that. I don't know how people can say, oh, I believe you can. Now, let me just throw in one other little thing, and then we're probably about done. You say, about time, preacher. Whenever we're truly saved, are we saved by works? We're not saved by works, are we? Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? So if you're not saved by works, how can you be lost by doing bad works? Thought about that? How can you be lost by not working for God the way you should? You can't. You're saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus at a point in time. And once you're truly saved according to God's word, like I said, I might entertain a little thought of this. Did you lose your salvation? If someone who believes that can explain away these clear verses in Scripture. Now, I know there's a verse or two in Hebrews that they use and say, and I've studied up on that quite a bit, and guess what? It's really saying just the opposite, that you can't lose it. Because, well, this verse here, well, if you can explain away all these clear ones, I may look at that one that we kind of, a little bit more obscure, a little bit harder to understand, and give it a little bit of merit. But there's no way that you can be lost, because God, when you got saved, it was almost as if it was done then. He's waving the finish line, said, I'm going to bring it to completion, because if he said it, that settles it. If he promises it, he's going to fulfill his promise. If you're truly born again, I'm thankful that God is going to direct me all the way down the track in my life and finish what he started in me, salvation. And you know what? You probably won't believe it. Someday I'm going to be perfect. What are you sniggering about over there? But as children of God in heaven, we're going to be perfect. God's going to complete that work. Now, we only got to point one, but that's all right. That's all right. I want to ask you a few questions, all right? Now, tonight we're talking about finishing the race. And to be honest with you, a lot of people do not finish their race in the center of God's will. But God says, I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I'm going to do my part. But guess what? We got a choice. We got a choice. I want each of us to do our part to be in the center of God's will and finish strong. I mean, it's not like, okay, you're talking missionary pastor thing. No, I'm talking about a layman in church, a deacon in church, a trustee in church, an usher in church, a teacher in church. I'm also talking missionary and pastor, because some pastors have completely blown it at the end, seriously. They've gotten in all kind of mess and financial problems and swindled money, and some have had relationships they ought not have, immoral relations, and on and on and on. So all of us are capable of not finishing the way we should in the center of God's will. But can I submit to you, I'm almost finished, can I submit to you that that's a choice? That's a choice. And I also may submit to you that that's not something you're just going to wake up one day and say, I'm just going to completely ruin what God's done in my life. It's kind of a process, and you ponder it, and you process a little bit more, and you process a little bit more, and you think about it. And the old devil says, yeah, do it. And the old world says, yeah, well, you ought to. You got every right to do it. And then the old flesh says, yeah, that feel good to do it. And then, so it is kind of a process. So really, what you and I really need to do is we talk about finishing and finishing strong. We know God's going to hold up his end. You know what you and I ought to do? We ought to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? God helping me. I can't do it on my own, but God helping me, I am going to finish strong and faithful. And I'm going to encourage you to do something about that. I'm going to encourage you to pray about that in just a moment, okay? So if you would, bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Do you want to finish the race? Do you want to finish the course that God has put together for you personally in His perfect will for your life? I mean, do you want to be in the center of God's will and finish this life in the center of His will? If so, would you ask God right now in prayer to help you stay right in the center of the track, right in the center of His perfect will for your life that He's put together for you until you cross the finish line, the end of your track on earth? In other words, would you ask God, God, help me to finish strong in the center of Your will? Would you be willing to sincerely offer that prayer, not from your lips, but from your heart? Lord, help me to finish strong in the center of Your will. Would you do that? Mean that from your heart? I would hope that every child of God from your heart just prayed that sincerely to the Lord. Lord, help me to finish strong in the center of Your will. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if there's anyone here or anyone listening in tonight through Facebook, have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? You know, the way to get on God's track, this analogy that we've been using, this Hot Wheels track, the way to get in His will and to serve in Him, guess what? You know what that is? That's by trusting Jesus as your Savior, by being saved. If you've never asked the Lord to save you and forgive you of your sins, told Him in prayer that you believe Jesus died for you on the cross, guess what? You've never got in the center of His will. You never started on that track that God has for you, but you can do that tonight by being saved. Wherever you are, I'd encourage you, call out to the Lord in prayer. Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross, and I want Him to be my Savior. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Would you do that tonight? If you're listening in or if you're here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for all Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for this sermon series on Wednesday nights. Lord, help us as we've talked about tonight. Lord, help me, Lord, to finish strong right in the center of Your will. And I pray that that's the desire of every Christian that's here tonight. We pray. In Jesus' name, we ask these things.